because you can handle the truth.
Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Maybe too exciting. We've had a lot of excitement over the weekend. We have with us, in order to help us understand what's been going on, Mark Collette from Great Britain. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's a great pleasure to be here. Just got back from the gym, so I'm feeling full of energy and ready to discuss these pertinent topics.
Did you ever see the American TV show Saturday Night Live?
I think I have. Isn't that like the sketch show where a lot of sort of famous comedians start out on?
Yeah, they had a sketch, a recurring sketch, 25 years ago, maybe at least 25 years ago, maybe 30 years ago. Hans und Franz, they were cousins of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And they were dressed in sweatsuits, and they were seemed to be very muscular under their sweatsuits. And they were there to give weightlifting advice, except all they did was talk. They just talk, but they're not here to talk. They're here to pump you up. And they described themselves as pumped up white men. So maybe you're a pumped up white man now if you just came back from the gym.
Well, I'm certainly white, and I am indeed pumped up. So that would be a very, very good description.
Well, so I'm sure that you, as myself and so many of our listeners, are very upset at what's been going on, that President Trump, he did unleash an airstrike, a missile strike on Syria, curiously timed to start just as Tucker Carlson, the one voice of sanity, was going off of the air for the weekend and wouldn't be heard for 72 or 71 hours. That is a little bit of a coincidence. I'm not sure how much to read into that. And, of course, the person who follows Tucker on the show is somebody with the next show is Sean Hannity, somebody who's a big cheerleader for – he's a big partisan and cheerleader for Trump, whether Trump is doing something righteous or something suicidal. He'll cheerlead for Trump. I'm still trying to sort everything out. It seems that this did not cause destruction to people, didn't seem to have caused deaths. Maybe it did. I haven't heard of any. And a lot of the missiles, maybe two-thirds of the missiles were shot down. And there actually was forewarning given to Russia, at least according to the video message that the United States ambassador to Russia, John Huntsman, posted on his Facebook. But still, very few of us want to forgive Trump for this. And and here's one other thing I'm just going to bring up because I think you would be of interest. This would be of interest to you. Our good friend and debate sparring partner Tom Luongo, he actually has a article in Zero Hedge, which is a reasonably good source of news, zerohedge.com. And he does an analysis of what happened, and it's really not bad. And you know, it's really easy for you and I to dismiss him as just kind of an idiot because that's really how he came off. But he's not just an idiot, and I don't think he's necessarily even an idiot. Certainly not just an idiot. His analysis isn't, I think it's worth a read. Now, he talks about neocons, doesn't mention that they're Jewish. There are certainly flaws in his analysis, but it was actually pretty reasonable. I'm just bringing that up. I will be putting it on nationalbugle.com for people to review. His analysis is that Trump is very, very flawed, that he went into this enthusiastically. I'm quoting here, I think. His appointment of John Bolton wasn't because he's suddenly become more nuanced in foreign policy. That, no matter what his instincts are, the neocons can play him like a violin with fake gas attacks. Well, you know, that part's true. He doesn't mention that the neocons are Jews, that the very power of the neocons, he doesn't seem to, when in our debate with him, he didn't seem to see that as a reflection of Jewish power. Okay, so I've done plenty of talking. Mark, what lessons are you gaining? What insights do you have into this, what's going on in the world as a result of the events of the past 72 hours?
Well, the first thing I've got to say is Donald Trump has let us all down. That's the first thing I have to say. And I don't say that enthusiastically. I'm not one of these people who's an I told you so moment, right, merchant, because there are a lot of those people who are like gloating now saying, oh, we never supported Trump. Well, I did support Trump and I supported him quite enthusiastically. I supported him because he said all the right things. I supported him because he talked about immigration. He talked about the threat of Islam. He talked about the fake media and how the media was leading America and the Western world astray. He talked about the deep state. He talked about the fact that politics was rigged. But he also talked quite notably about how he was against the war, specifically the war in Syria. Now, he was quite outspoken on all of these things, and he impressed me a lot, and I did support him. However, I will no longer be supporting him. We haven't got a wall. He hasn't got anywhere with his so-called Muslim ban that wasn't really a Muslim ban. He has carried on railing against the media, but he's let us down sorely on Syria. And here are the tweets that impressed me, and I'll read four tweets from 2013. Again, to our very foolish leader, do not attack Syria. If you do, many very bad things will happen, and from that fight, the US gets nothing. President Obama, do not attack Syria. There is no upside and tremendous downside. Save your powder for another and more important day. The only reason President Obama wants to attack Syria is to save face over his very dumb red line statement. Do not attack Syria, fix USA. And finally, we should not attack Syria, but if they make the stupid move to do so, the Arab League, whose members are laughing at us, should pay. So he goes on to not only say we shouldn't attack Syria, but that it's a complete waste of money. And if there does end up being an attack on Syria, then ultimately it should be the Arab League who pays. Well, it hasn't been the Arab League who's paid for this. It's been the US, the UK, and France. And I've got a lot to say on Theresa May's role in this slightly later in the show. But Donald Trump has gone back on what were key reasons as to why people voted for him. Now, I don't think he's impressed anyone with this other than the neocons, but he's not impressed them enough to make them support him. He won't have people like John McCain and other notable war-hungry Republicans support him. They'll be happy that he did this, but they'll still want him gone. So really, he's done nothing for himself, nothing for his support base, and he's betrayed many, many people and lost the support of people who did enthusiastically support him. And as I said, I'm not an I told you so merchant on this one, because I did support him, and I'm very, very sad that he's done this. I do feel betrayed. I do feel let down. And right up until almost the last moment on this, we actually had a situation where sort of people who were still very much enthusiastic Trump supporters were trying to make out that his statements were some 4D chess and, you know, he was a step ahead and these were all mind games and this is what he had to do. Well, it hasn't been mind games. It's been a man betraying his supporters. And really, when a huge number of people vote for you on the basis that you are not going to pursue any more of these pointless wars or conflicts in the Middle East, well, and then you go and do the opposite, I don't really see him winning another presidential election now. I think this will lose him the support of many people who supported him online, who produced memes, who shared, who liked output that supported him. I think he is now coming to a point where he is shattering his support base and he's going to end up a very unpopular president, not only amongst those he initially annoyed, the Democrats and the social justice warriors and the left, but also amongst the alternative right, nationalists, and those who are anti-war and anti-globalist.
Mm-hmm. Well, that scenario of him becoming very unpopular at one-term president and even abbreviated term president, that scenario has become more likely. Now, you know, last week I had been pushing what I admitted was a hopeful narrative that, you know, I was looking back over the past year and I saw what happened a year ago in Syria where he was hoaxed into a strike on Syria. And it did kill dozens of people, killed a lot more people than this one supposedly killed. And I thought, well, maybe we're going to a replay of that. But my hopeful scenario was I was looking at what had happened with North Korea, where my assumption, contrary to pretty much everyone else, my assumption was that he wasn't so much trying to scare the North Koreans. He was trying to scare the political establishment and the media into thinking he would start a major war in North Korea so that they would let him go ahead and negotiate. And that may have been the case. That was certainly my reading of the situation up until this past weekend. And I still think that's a possibility. Now I'm starting to entertain a second possibility. Just as the Zio media and the neocons have played him like a fiddle to get him to perhaps enthusiastically strike North Korea over the weekend, because there are reports that, you know, he was gung-ho and that Mattis, Secretary of Defense Mattis, and the military establishment came up with this a strike that would not, that would be less likely to escalate. But that he might have been enthusiastic about this. Well, he might have been played by South Korean President Moon and the South Korean National Security Advisor into thinking that he had scared the North Koreans into the negotiating table, whereas actually the North Koreans have always been scared, so there's no change there, and have always wanted to have face-to-face negotiations, so there's no change there, that they might have played him successfully. What would that say about Trump? Well, that would say about Trump that you know, he's got to have a particular kind of brilliance to have amassed a fortune. Even if he started with a small fortune, he amassed a large fortune and managed to will himself into the presidency in face of historic opposition. So he's got something, some brilliance, but he's also got some, what I described earlier this morning as autism, pretty far on the mentally retarded side of the scale regarding a lot of things. So he's very flawed. The question is, you know, so last week I was thinking, well, maybe out of this we'll see summit negotiations between Putin and Trump. And we may well, but if we do, I would be much more inclined to think that it was give credit to Vladimir Putin for somehow engineering it, for somehow playing the Trump fiddle and maybe some other fiddles. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm rethinking a lot of things. I, you know, whether or not we support Trump is kind of a moot point for the time being. We do want the pressure to be off of him, whether we like him or not. We don't want him to be investigated and his lawyer's office is raided, and you know, but not, it's not that we want to protect Trump for Trump's sake. We need to be able to play him, and we need to try to keep other people from playing him. He's I've said many times, he's not so much a leader as an asset. Okay, I've been talking long enough. Rather than posing a question to you, I'm just going to throw the rugby ball back over to you.
Well, hey, rugby. I can certainly catch it and give you some sort of insight.
You don't really throw rugby balls so much as kick them, right?
No, you throw rugby balls. And you kick them as well, but okay. Rugby's sort of a game where you do a bit of both. Football's the one way.
It's underhanded, right? It's underhanded, or you throw it backwards?
Yeah, they've always got to be thrown backwards, never forwards. They can be kicked forwards and thrown backwards, but if you throw it backwards and one of your team catches it, they can then run forwards with it.
Okay, well, I'm kicking it forward to you because I have the feeling you're way out in front of me.
Oh, thank you. Well, either way, I think the problem that Trump has is, firstly, he is a very savvy businessman. He is a man that knows the business world. And he's a man that understands the common man. I'll give him those two things. And both of those things are quite unique for a politician. They're quite unique because most politicians don't understand the common man. They can't speak to the common man. You see, it's like in the UK. Theresa May has no real support amongst normal people. And Jeremy Corbyn has a lot of support amongst students and sort of the far left. But regular folks on the street don't really turn out to political rallies or political events. But Donald Trump changed that. He certainly changed that in America. He got the regular folks on his side. He could speak to normal people and he understood them. He also is a phenomenal businessman, and no one can take that away from him. If you start with 30 million and you end up with billions, you've been very, very successful. Sure, you've had a big head start, but the fact is, you've still been hugely successful. And I posed this question to someone a while ago. I actually said to them, they said that Trump hadn't been a success because he'd started with so much money. And I said, well, look, I'll give you 30 quid because you like going and putting bets on the football. I'll give you £30 and we'll see if you can come away with £1,000. And if you can, you're in the same league as Donald Trump. Otherwise, you owe me the £30 back. And they refused to take me up on my offer because it's actually very hard to be as successful to the factor that he has been. So we can't take either of those things away from him. But the thing that he doesn't understand, and there is a problem with his success, he doesn't understand politics. And when I say politics, I don't mean speaking to the regular folks. I don't mean understanding regular problems and talking the talk and holding a good rally and being a leader in that sense. But he doesn't understand how political dealings work. And that's something that's really held him back. Now, in the business world, compromise is often something that is necessary for mutual benefit. Often you have to take a hit so that everyone can take a larger gain, and you in the longer run might not get everything that you initially wanted, but you ended up with more than you started with. And that's the point, that you end up with more than you started with. And because everyone's trying to make profit, because everyone wants to make money, that system works. But in politics, it doesn't work, because the left never compromise. The left constantly call for conservatives or Republicans.
Oh, okay, well, we will be back after the break with more from Mark Collette.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And welcome back to the show. And Mark, you were in the middle of saying something.
Yeah, I was basically saying that Trump, whilst a phenomenal businessman and understanding that deals in the business world can be mutually beneficial, he doesn't understand that the left do not make deals. The left constantly demand and they constantly force conservatives and Republicans to give ground, but they are never willing to give any ground themselves. So every time Trump has attempted to do a deal with his political opponents and given an inch, they have given him nothing in return. For example, I think he's felt with these Syria things that if he does this, they'll get off his back about Russia. They won't want to impeach him. They'll stop on this warpath of trying to drag him before some sort of kangaroo court and get him out. But they won't. They won't. They'll just laugh at him and they'll carry on. And I've still seen, it was funny because even after this Syria strike, I went onto Facebook and I still saw people sharing videos from the other side of the fence saying four reasons why Donald Trump could be impeached tomorrow. And they are still doing this. They're not going to change their minds. And that's where he's naive and foolish because he doesn't understand that the business world can't directly translate to the political world. And this is where he's letting himself down, because there is no art of the deal in politics. There is no art of the deal. You either drag things your way or you get dragged the other way. And that's what he's failed to understand.
Right. And of course, many people are going to remark that what happened also over the weekend was he had his lawyer's office raided, and now they're in control of whatever damning material they want. Well, you know, Mark, I don't take calls when I have you as my guest. That's because I enjoy our talks the way they are. But I have Alan from South Carolina, somebody who's I like to talk to. I'm going to make a special exception for Alan today. Alan, what's on your mind?
Well, let me just start by saying, Mark, I think you're right on target. What we needed here all along was somebody like Trump, who is a hard-nosed real estate developer and a construction site superintendent. Too bad that Ron Paul and Pat Buchanan before him were just too mild-mannered to deal with these so-and-sos. That said, Dr. Slattery, I'm glad you're still doing the show. I have to rest every day about this time, so I sort of forgot about you. But I'm calling because it keeps coming back to me that what's missing in our defense discussions is a precise definition and condemnation of that our frequently lamented term, the New World Order. I'm referring to a quotation in that I found in rereading Pat Buchanan's book, A Republic, Not an Empire, copyright circa 1996, going on 2000, 2001 or thereabouts. I can't remember the exact date. That's not important. But the thing that struck me there in rereading, which I'd sort of forgotten, you know how you do when you read a book and put it aside, you forget about some of the salient points. He quotes one, Strobe Talbot, just then retired president of the Brookings Institute.
And Strobe Talbot, a close personal friend of Bill Clinton. I think they were roommates at Oxford.
Oh, yeah, he was more like a foreign advisor, a foreign relations advisor for Clinton. Mm-hmm. But the point I'm trying to make about him is he gives a very clear, precise, and chilling definition of his outline of end runs and sabotage of national sovereignty, which he hopes will end up in the single world authority by the end of the 21st century. For me, this provides a perfect bullseye and the target on this new world order. Dr. Slattery, you've already hinted at my next question. You are familiar with him and probably Buchanan's book as well. So, what do you all think?
Well, you know, we've had in this show, we've been concentrating on more of the near term. You know, that this term New World Order has been used in a lot of different ways. I'm not sure exactly where it originated. Mikhail Gorbachev used the term, and his conception of a New World Order was one where the United States and the Soviet Union would have a cooperative relationship rather than a Cold War. And George Bush used New World Order later, and it seemed to kind of move it more towards a unipolar world under American domination. And then since then, for the past 20 years, it's been used by many people who are often termed as conspiracy theorists. To mean a consolidation of a secret government. So it's used in different ways. Mark, what do you think of, well, we're running up to the break. I'll ask you about it on the other side of the break, Mark. But thank you for your call, Patrick. Thank you for your call, Alan. And we'll talk a little bit about the New World Order after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, healthcare has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Okay, so Mark, the Alan, you know, he brought up the New World Order, and today I didn't really want to depart too far from looking at the events of this weekend and more immediate concerns and problems. As I mentioned, I think the New World Order phrase means different things to different people. And to President Gorbachev, I thought it meant when he said order, it was relationships between actors that are visible, that you can see. And I think even Bush, whose conception of it was somewhat different, was still, when he was talking about an order, a world order, he was talking about a relationship, you know, a set of relationships. Whereas when Alex Jones talks about the New World Order, the order is like an organization, or it is a group of people. It's not so much relationships. So I think they're really talking oranges and apples using the same phrase. And you'll never hear me use it. Not that I don't think there's all sorts of stuff that goes on behind the background, but because I think the phrase has come to mean different things to different people and become rather worthless. Okay. So I guess I'm going to ask you, if you want to talk about the New World Order per se, go right ahead, or otherwise, maybe getting to Alan's question, what do the events of today, this past few days, mean not just for the remainder of the Trump administration, but for humanity going down the road to its, you know, eventual destiny?
Well, I'll start with the New World Order point that Alan made. I'm going to attack this from a slightly different point of view. If you want to see the New World Order in action, one of the best ways to observe their behavior over the last few days has actually been with Theresa May. Now, bear with me here for a second. Tony Blair, who took the UK to war in Iraq, he took the UK to war in Iraq on lies, on the idea that there were weapons of mass destruction, which there weren't. He's remembered as a very, very bad prime minister. He's remembered as a warmonger, as a man who took a nation to war on lies. Hundreds of thousands of people perished because of those lies, including hundreds of British service personnel. It cost the UK billions of pounds. And he's remembered as a bad prime minister for that. However, he at the very least allowed a free and open vote in Parliament over whether they should have gone to war. He allowed a free and open vote. Now, Theresa May, she didn't. She took the UK into those strikes on Syria without a free and open debate. There was no parliamentary democracy. She acted unilaterally without a vote, without any oversight. And this, to me, actually, in many ways, marks her out as a worse prime minister than Tony Blair. But she did this for a reason, you see. I don't believe she just decided to act undemocratically. I believe she acted in this way because she knew she was going to lose. Tony Blair, he put forward the weapons of mass destruction and he won that vote. Many voted against him, but it was still carried. Now, on the other hand, I think she knew that public opinion was so far against her. Now, one of the leading morning talk shows in the UK is the Jeremy Vine show on BBC Radio 2. And usually he tries to balance his debates on these things. He tries to get one from either side and then he slowly condescends and makes a fool of the person who goes against the establishment line. And when he debated this, he couldn't even find anyone to say, yes, we need to attack Syria. He couldn't find anyone. And the weight of public support and the weight of MPs who didn't want this was overwhelming. And this really is how the New World Order works, because the New World Order doesn't care for democracy. It doesn't care for a free and open vote. It just wants what it wants. And in this case, it was foreign intervention in Syria. And that's why Theresa May, who is an ardent supporter of this New World Order, who is a woman that supports the bankers, the globalist institutions. I've been posting pictures of her with the Rothschilds. I've been posting pictures of her with Netanyahu, with Israelis. She's been known to have meetings with Goldman Sachs bankers before the Brexit referendum. She serves this New World Order. And this New World Order, they act unilaterally, they do as they please, and they do not represent the interests of the people. And this is exactly what I believe Alan was talking about. This is how they take power. This is how they gain power. And when they've got power, even if they don't think they're going to have the support of the people, they do as they please. And have I been cut off or has Patrick disappeared?
Oh, I put my mute on so you wouldn't hear me typing my notes. I'm sorry. So the way the term New World Order has been used probably for the past 20 years at least is as a, you know, a collective of people, not relationships, but a collective of people or groups. And so you can say things like, when you're talking about the New World Order, you can use the pronoun they, and you can use verbs of volition. Like, the New World Order wants this. If you were, the way it was originally used, it was relationships. Now, I mentioned Gorbachev, and not very many people would remember Gorbachev using New World Order. But it was relationships, and you wouldn't say you could say the New World Order is an it, because relationships are its. You couldn't say the New World Order is a they, and you wouldn't say the New World Order wants something. Why am I going into this? I think even George Bush used it in the sense of relationships, but you do have people who've been going back. And retroactively, they say they'll pull up George Bush saying there's a new world order, and they say, see, it's proof. But the definition, the definition of new world order as a kind of a secret government, is something that postdates Gorbachev or Bush's use of it. I wanted to underscore that. I think that there's a lot of stuff that goes on in front of. In the light, and there's stuff that goes on in the shadows. And to me, to understand the way the world works, the most important thing is understanding the role of the Jewish tribe, how the Jewish tribe works. And a lot of what the Jewish tribe does is actually not so much hidden, but it's just there is a prohibition on discussing it. So there's no discussion of it, even though it's not necessarily hidden. Why am I bringing all this stuff up? I don't know. But I don't use the term New World Order. I think when people use the term New World Order, they may well be referring to real things, but I think the term itself is not very useful. And certainly I don't think there is in a caved out mountain, in a mountain cave somewhere, I don't think there is a big round table with lots of people sitting around and a big emblem in the back with the NWO insignia on it. I don't think there's anything like that.
Like in a Bond film.
Yeah, like in a Bond film. And I don't think it's particularly useful for people to think in terms of this kind of conspiracy where, everything is set out. There's a plan, and there are these invisible forces that are moving us towards a particular plan. I think things are much more haphazard. And if they're not haphazard, then what the heck are we doing? We're bound to fail. We're not going to, we wouldn't stop any secret government that exists in the way so many people imagine it to. I think things are much more fluid and much more haphazard. And, humans in general are more or less the masters of their fate. And, our people, we could take we're big enough and strong enough to take our fate in our hands. The only question is whether we will or not. What do you think?
I agree with that. I don't think everything's as predetermined as some people think. I think there are sort of conspiracies. I think there are groups that wield disproportionate power, but I don't think everything's done and dusted, and I don't think there's an all-powerful group that controls everything that we can never defeat and will always rule over us. Because if that was the case, there'd be no point fighting this fight, would there? There would be no point doing what we're doing. And I think in some ways, when people talk about this sort of new world order, when they talk about that kind of situation, that kind of development or that kind of world outlook, I think sometimes it can be a little bit destructive in some ways, because it makes out that there is an all-powerful group that we can never defeat and that we'll never get the better of and that we'll always have the whip hand over us. And I simply don't think that's true. I think we've seen throughout history power has changed hands. There has been revolutions. There have been unexpected occurrences. Empires do rise. Empires do fall. And I don't think the West is going to continue on as it has been doing. I think we will reach some kind of breaking point. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I don't think lines or lines of power will be based simply on who has the most money or who has the most gold reserves. There will be a huge redrawing of power when that occurs. And at that point, we'll see things change. Now, we don't know when that will happen. We don't know if it will happen in our lifetimes, or in fact, how that will happen, or how there'll be a change of power or a change of leadership. But things do change over time. And if we go down the route of believing that there is an all-powerful agency that prevents any form of change, I think that can be quite a depressing thought. And also, in some ways, it can actually rob people of their ability to fight, because those people, all of a sudden, I don't think they see the point in fighting anymore. Why would you fight if you don't think you can win?
Well, yes, why would you fight if you don't think you can win? Okay, I want to ask you a question. And, you know, you've mentioned Tony Blair, and he went and he got a vote in Parliament in support of British involvement in the war with Iraq. And even in 2002 and 2003, in the run-up to the war of Iraq, in Iraq, there were lots and lots of respectable people, people who have access to mainstream media, and people who don't, who were saying that, okay, Saddam Hussein, he does not have weapons of mass destruction, and he was not involved in Al-Qaeda. He was not involved in 9/11. There was lots of people who were attacking the narrative that was being put forward by Bush and Blair. And as the years unfolded, it became evident that indeed, to be put it most charitably, we went to war based on bad intelligence. And so Blair certainly apologized. He apologized explicitly, saying, it was bad intelligence. And you had the Chilcot inquiry. Bush wasn't quite as explicit, but it's become, 15 years later, it's become pretty standard to recognize that at best, we went to war on bad intelligence. President Trump in the debates, debating against Jeb Bush, said that this was a we went to war based on lies, which is pretty much the consensus view. We went to war based on lies. This time around, the evidence for the mainstream narrative, for the official narrative, is weaker. If anything, it's weaker. So we've been there before. How long is it going to take before people in power have to say, yes, it was bad intelligence or whatever? And what's this going to do to them? What's this going to do to May? What's it going to do to Trump to have unleashed military actions based on such obvious lies?
Well, I think in this case, again, I always find it very disconcerting when a prime minister says there's evidence for something, or a politician says there's evidence and we have to trust them. Tony Blair said we had to trust him. We had to trust him as our prime minister because he, was in possession of this evidence. He was assured that there was weapons of mass destruction. And Theresa May said exactly the same thing. Now, I'm not asking these people to come out and burn all their sources. I'm not saying they have to get their source and say, look, we have this source in the Syrian army, and he said this, this, and this. But we do have to have some evidence presented to the public, or at least to Parliament. And there hasn't been any. There hasn't been any. And as I said, there hasn't even been a democratic and free vote. And when I say a free vote, people in America might not understand what I mean, but in parliamentary terms, you have party votes and you have free votes. And a party vote is when the party whips go round and ensure everyone in the party votes along party lines, all those people are punished and the party then sanctions them. However, there are free votes where people are allowed to vote with their own conscience, not along party political lines. And Theresa May should have allowed a free and open vote on this matter, but she didn't. And I think that in itself is very, very telling. Because if I was a prime minister and I had all this compelling evidence and I was absolutely 100% sure that there had been some great sort of human tragedy or despicable act that had taken place and this had to be combated via military force, I would have no problem going to Parliament, and I certainly wouldn't have any problem in furnishing people with necessary evidence, but none of that was forthcoming. And the amazing thing about this is these Tomahawk missiles that they fire cost around $1.4 million per missile. I actually looked this up after we discussed it last week on my show.
I think we're about to go to break.
Well, they spent about $140 million on these missiles. Mm-hmm. And out of the 100, let's say 100 was shot, about 70% were knocked out of the sky.
Okay, well, we'll be back after the break. All right.
Number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have? Do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Welcome back. I like the music, but I'm going to cut it off because we have important things to talk about. So, you know, getting back to the run-up to the Iraq war, for instance, and Blair and Bush, to an extent, had to come out and say, well, yeah, it was bad intelligence. Hey, yeah, Condoleezza Rice, it was bad intelligence. Well, I knew I knew that just based on the intelligence I had that was open source, it was out there through the, either through the mainstream media, through people like Scott Ritter, who was a weapons inspector, who was speaking out, people outside the mainstream, but in public, through this public information, you know, Ralph Nader knew, lots of people knew, that that this was ridiculous. And this time around, we know that it's that what's going on in Syria is not what they're saying. You know, here's the thing. I think most of the information that people have is available open source. I don't think that the government intelligence services really have accumulate in information that is that much more valuable, that gives these people such a better insight that we should trust them. And in many cases, the information that they get is wrong and intentionally wrong. This is my question. Do these people in government with access to classified information, are they really better informed than we are? And if so, why do they make such foolish mistakes, such obvious foolish mistakes, if they have access to such better information than we do?
Well, that's a very, very interesting point, Patrick. And I'm going to actually follow that up with some facts. In the Chilcot report that we spoke of earlier, the most damning evidence was against the ridiculous 45-minute claim. Now, for those who don't know what the 45-minute claim was, the 45-minute claim was a claim by MPs in Parliament that Saddam Hussein could strike the UK within 45 minutes. Absolute nonsense. And in the Chilcot report, it more or less came out that that entire piece of evidence, that crucial piece of evidence, was eventually traced back to hearsay evidence from an Iraqi taxi driver who claimed he'd overheard someone who was in the military saying something about missiles in 45 minutes. So really, it was the most tenuous and ridiculous piece of evidence you could actually imagine. And to actually trace this back and to say hundreds of thousands of lives were lost because an Iraqi taxi driver claimed that he heard something about missiles in 45 minutes when he was driving a relatively high-ranking member of the Iraqi military from point A to point B, to claim that an entire war was predicated on that one piece of very shaky evidence, shows how ridiculous these wars are. Now, I did a video called Wars for Israel Drive Mass Immigration into Europe, and all this is detailed in that video. So I suggest anyone that wants to know more about it goes over to my YouTube channel and watches that particular video. I've also done a video this week, well, last week, Thursday, in fact, called Assad Didn't Do It. So I suggest if you're interested in this particular topic, check that out too. And anyway, here's the music. Thank you for having me, Patrick, and I'll see you next week.
Okay, well, thank you for coming on. And yes, do go to Mark's YouTube channel. Check out Assad Didn't Do It. Check out the video on Wars for Israel, because they're very, very well done. I will be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. Center. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 Keep It Today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network.